Welcome to The Fighting Priests, a podcast exploring orthodoxy and jiu-jitsu. Two paths, one struggle. Father Ted Paraskevopoulos and Father Thomas Sandberg are two orthodox Christian priests who also happen to be practitioners of jiu-jitsu. Together, they explore how these two unique worlds intersect and what it means for our spirituality. Here's Father Ted and Father Thomas. Welcome, everybody, back to The Fighting Priests. In this episode, we have a very exciting guest, a different guest than every other time that we've kind of done guests on the show. Our guest is Helen Apostolopoulos Tsoumaris, correct? Helen, am I pronouncing that correct?
That's correct.
Well, I am Greek, so it's easy to say it. But that's why I didn't make Father Thomas say it right off the bat. Helen is not a jiu-jitsu practitioner. That's why it's different than every other guest that we've had so far. But Helen has two daughters who do BJJ now for about 7 years. And we thought we would have her on because we wanted to talk today about Orthodox parents in general who have their children in jiu-jitsu, but especially the mothers. Our topic today is called Moms and Mats, Orthodox Parents and BJJ. And we're really, really happy to have Helen with us. Helen, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome. And Father Thomas up in Niverville, I always laugh when I say it. I don't know why. It's like my tradition. How's it going?
It's going all right.
Yeah?
Yep.
Is it hot?
This morning it was. I was reading outside. It's been kind of hit and miss. It was warm and then it rained and now it's getting warm again. So
yeah, I see you're doing a lot. I watch on Instagram. You publish your runs, and I know that Niverville, because I used to live in Manitoba. I used to be the priest there, and I know it's flat because it's like the prairies, and there's nothing there. There's not even a hill. So I don't know. I don't want to imagine what the run in Niverville is like.
Depends which route you take. the one I normally take that's straight. It's flat, and there's farmers' fields around there. So. Especially with this area. This area is more a Mennonite area, so it's kind of between, like more south is St. Agathe, and then a little bit north is St. Adolphe, where my grandmother-in-law lives. And both those communities I just mentioned are traditionally Métis communities or French communities, so you got this little Mennonite community in between them. So it's a little bit different here.
That's okay.
But this is where my grandmother's from, so it's good. I went and saw my grandmother yesterday, helped her with some forms that she needed for her rent and stuff like that with the government. So just busy with that.
Joy. We do the same thing. My grandparents are the same way. And Helen, I'm assuming are your grandparents alive, Helen, or?
My husband's grandmother is alive. She's actually in Greece. And that's another reason we go every summer to visit her. And we're just kind of crossing our fingers that maybe we can still go for a little bit this summer. We'll see.
Nice. Well, Helen, you said also that you don't actually practice jiu-jitsu. Your daughters do. But do you work out? Do you exercise? What's your thing?
I don't practice jiu-jitsu. I do work out. I try to go to spin classes a couple times a week. And just, you know, long walks with other mothers at school. But mainly spinning.
Nice. I used to spin a long time ago. Yeah, it's fun.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. I do find it a lot of fun. It's a great workout too.
Nice, nice. Did you? But you know, I'm assuming during the lockdown, no spinning unless you have a spinner at home.
No spinning. No jiu-jitsu for the girls. Just long walks usually. We're near the lake shore, so we do take long walks by the lake shore or High Park. So our area is very. It does have a lot to do, let's say, at least to be out and about a little bit.
Oh, nice.
A safe distance, of course.
You're near High Park?
I am near High Park, yeah.
Well, you're not very far from our church, actually. We're just a little bit
No, far. Not at all. Both of my daughters were baptized at the church there.
Oh, very nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So there's no, I'm assuming, no online jiu-jitsu for your daughters from the club?
They also do boxing and there is online boxing if they wanted to take part in, but they don't really find it. It's not the same.
Yeah,
it really isn't. They're used to sparring. They're used to learning techniques. They're used to rolling with their teammates. So it's difficult. We have mats here at our house, actually, which they're jiu-jitsu mats, but they usually just use them to work out with weights and whatnot. So they really haven't been practicing lately.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ellen. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I guess this is interesting for me as I do not have any children yet. So it's interesting when I see people do have kids and their kids train, especially young kids or adolescents, or it's even interesting seeing kids, more, I guess they're teenagers now, but people who started training when they were kids throughout my time of training, especially coming back and forth from like Winnipeg and Toronto, and seeing them become like teenagers and seeing them progress. Right. So it's like, how did your daughters get into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu?
Well, I have two daughters. They're now 15 and 12. They started when they were 6 and 8. So it's been 7 years now. Their uncle, Daniel Tsatsos, which is here in Toronto, he was, he's a professor in Jiu-Jitsu. He was opening up his own club, Nova União Mississauga. And he told the girls, you know, come and try it out. You might like it. At that time, they were only in gymnastics, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So we took them to a couple of classes. They enjoyed it. And the couple of classes became, well, 7 years of classes pretty much afterwards. Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's a long time. Gymnastics. Hey, I think it's George St. Pierre. He believes gymnastics is a good base for martial arts. So that's a good thing to go from one to the other.
Yeah, so they did stick with gymnastics actually for a while too, and then they kind of intertwined both.
Yeah, that's interesting, especially for girls. I think it's really good for girls to take martial arts to learn to defend themselves and for confidence and everything. I think it's
mm-hmm, for sure confidence, self defense, and also my daughters are very petite. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that they did learn immediately is that smaller opponents can actually thrive and survive against bigger, larger competitors. As long as they either, you know, thinking about their moves, the technique, they're focused. So, and we saw that many times during competitions too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always a good thing, especially for smaller sized females. That's a very good skill to have for potential situations that you hope no one would ever have to find themselves
in. For sure. Yeah. For sure.
So how was it how was it exactly when they first started, I guess? Was did you say they took to it right away, or were they shy?
They took to it right away, actually. So it was my two daughters and another two of their friends that joined the classes immediately. So they kind of had a little, their own little group initially. And then the other kids, it was probably a group of 10 kids that were in the classes. They immediately bonded. The coaches were fantastic with them. They did a lot of games. They were a very young age group. So they did some technique, lots of games that they intertwined during their warm-ups and cool-downs. So they really had a lot of fun with it. They really enjoyed it from the beginning, I have to admit.
Well, that's really great. And when did they start competing? Did you get them to start competing pretty quick?
They started competing as white belts immediately, pretty much after, let's say, 6 months of training. So they did start competing. The Ontario Open, Provincials, Niagara Falls. So they did quite a few competitions, and they have done probably at least 40 competitions throughout these 7 years. Now, they were training at Nova União Mississauga that happened to shut down at one point from the owner of the building itself. And then we had to find a different gym. So we ended up at Extreme Couture. They've been there for the past probably 5 years, and they compete under Extreme Couture now. And they had competitions lined up for this year also. The Ontario Open, which got canceled. Fundraisers, which got canceled. So, yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah. So how would you describe, if you would, do you see a difference in your daughters from before they started Jiu-Jitsu till now?
You know, they were very confident girls to begin with, I have to admit. So I'm sure they did gain confidence also there, but they were confident to begin with. You know what? I see that they're patient. You would probably think that Jiu-Jitsu, well, as you know, is aggressive, full body contact, but they're very patient, waiting to get promoted, waiting to see the stripes on their belt. I see patience there, which they really didn't have beforehand. So they're waiting for that stripe. They're waiting for the belt. So, and discipline, right? They're calm. They're more calm. They're focused. So I do see that it has helped them in that way also.
Yeah, I noticed this with my kids too, right? Because I have three who are doing jiu-jitsu. Originally, it was just the one. I have twins who are 8 years old now, and then a boy and a girl, and then I have another five-year-old boy. And so originally, it was just George, the oldest twin, and he's been doing it with me for the last 8 months now, if you include lockdown and Zoom classes. But and he took to it very quickly. But for George, he was more shy, right? So it was a big boost of confidence. And definitely I can identify with the whole patience thing, right? Because, you know, when they're young, they want instant gratification. They want things to happen quickly. And then when they go through the process of working for something and then finally they get it, you know, and they have that sense of accomplishment and they build on that and they build on it. It's very good for you know, it's a good lesson for us for later on in their lives when they get older.
For sure. And it takes time when it comes to jiu-jitsu, from what I see, just to get that stripe, to change belts, to you know, keep on going. So
yeah, it can be frustrating, but it's rewarding because it's not given easily. That's for sure.
Was there ever a time when they wanted to quit? Because 7 years is a long time. There's like adults who don't ever last that long, right?
You know, they've had their times. I'm gonna have to admit, especially my little one, more so. She competes because she's still 12 years old. All her competitions for the past couple of years have been only against boys. So there's no girls in her weight group and at her level, at her belt level. And she gets frustrated for sure. But she still, you know, she still goes back. She still, you know, when she does win, and she usually does, you know, every time she's come back with the medal, she is proud, and we're proud of her too, competing always against boys. But she gets frustrated. She would like a girl. She would like to feel that, you know, there are more females in the sport, and she would like to feel more comfortable maybe. My older one is now competing only against girls, so she's okay. So that a little bit kind of makes my little one, you know, want to stop at times. But, you know, we just keep on going. She likes the community. She likes the friends. There's lots of friendships happening too there. So she doesn't want to miss that.
Does she train with just girls or mixed gender?
Like, no, they train with girls and boys. No, it's a mixed classes. And but I guess training with your teammates, kids that they feel safe with, kids that they have trained with for quite a few years now, is a bit different against than going into competition only against boys. One girl against five boys.
Well, you can let her know that that's a problem everywhere. Even when I started here in Manitoba, some of the adult females, the younger adults, when they would go to compete, they'd be like two girls, so they'd be like, can I go into the men's division? Like, so that's everywhere. But slowly, you're in the almost 11 years, whatever it is that I've been training, you're seeing more girls get into it, and you're seeing, especially now, you can use social media to push, so you can see that
for sure
that martial arts aren't just for men, and especially with the UFC finally brought in women's fighting a couple of years ago, because most people didn't know about that unless you watched some of the smaller mixed martial arts organizations like Strikeforce, which is where like Ronda Rousey originally was. So it's really, you're starting to see the popularity grow for females.
It's getting bigger. Like we had mentioned this when we interviewed a friend of mine, Joanna Sharma, who's number two standing in for purple belt in her weight class in the world, and she's at our gym at Rev MMA. And yeah, even when she started, and it was 5.5 years ago, there weren't a lot of girls at the club, and now it's expanded. Now she's teaching her own class on Sunday mornings, and there's like over 30 women all out.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. And the junior programs, at least since I've been there for the last year, lots of girls, right? Like in the kids programs and all levels, both from 4 years old all the way up to like their teens. It's a pretty good, there are more boys, but you'd be surprised. I would say like there's a lot of girls. There's like maybe 30, sometimes 40% girls, like a lot of girls now. So that's a good thing coming up, I guess, in the sport. When she gets older, she's gonna, you know, if it's a trade-off, right? Because if you only have like, if there's only two girls in your weight class, you only have to fight two. If you have like 15 of them, competition is tighter, right? It's harder to get through. So, but it's better. I think it's better to have, obviously, to get more women involved in jiu-jitsu, and it's becoming much more popular now. So your daughters right now, they obviously they've been off. We know this because of the lockdown. Any word, at least, we're all both in Ontario right now, Helen, so we're kind of still waiting. I know Father Thomas, he's already started training in Manitoba. They've already opened up, thank God. But we've got some time. And have the girls been itching to get back? Like are they missing it, or they don't really care?
They're missing the community more than anything else. They're missing their friends, that the social aspect of it. They're missing the workout training for sure, but they miss their friends. They miss that because it's a huge. It's really a strong community. Friendships have been built after so many years, so they miss that a lot for sure.
Nice.
Yeah, I could see that. 7 years. It's a long time to see these same people or the same group of people and doing the same thing. That's what I felt when I was still in Toronto. We had to stop training around March 12th. To go from training for like 9 years and also not, it was like
nothing.
Stuck in the archdiocese. And I asked the other guys, I'm like, what do you guys do since you guys don't work out or train? Like it's you know, it's what else do? You can only read so much books. You can only watch so many movies. So
it's true. It's really awkward the times that we're living to begin with, what we're going through. So,
Your daughter's name is Kira.
It's Kyra. Kiriaki. So Kiriaki and Paraskevi. Kyra and Vivian.
Okay.
Very, very Greek names.
We got the Bethet on the one side, the mother on the other side.
Of course. Yeah, you have to cover your parents, right? So, and you mentioned how when they were training before the lockdown, how often were they going to the gym?
3 times a week for sure. Okay. They had classes, there were classes available for them every day, but we would take 3 classes, the advanced classes, and 1 no-gi, also just to kind of complement the other. Yeah.
Nice.
Arjun doesn't even have no-gi for kids.
Oh, they do. Yeah, no, Extreme Couture does. So we used to do the 2 advanced classes for the children and teens, and then they do the 1 no-gi just to compliment. There was also wrestling that they could do. They used to take 1 boxing class a week too, just to kind of get some upper body strength, which they enjoyed. The coach was Greek, so they really liked Sandy. But yeah, 3 times a week jujitsu.
Were you going, obviously you were going in the evenings because there's school in the morning?
In the evenings, yeah, in the evenings. So usually just before dinner or after dinner.
So
trying to juggle piano and jujitsu and my lessons.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. That was the next question. It's like, how did you even juggle all that? Because was your husband helping out? I don't know how the schedule is.
He works during the day. So he usually gets home at around 5 o'clock where I've already got the girls in the car going to jujitsu. Usually my private lessons I would do after their training. The piano teacher that we have or had used to come to the house after their training. So everything was kind of timed and we were just kind of go, go, go.
Wow. And they were doing piano after jujitsu? Wow.
After jujitsu, yeah.
That's exciting.
Usually with their gi or with their like just tights, you know, I mean, kind of stinky.
That's okay. Yeah. But you know, it's interesting though that, you know, it really is like a full family commitment, right? Especially if you have more than one child in it. But even if you have one child, I found like I had now all 3 are doing it, but all 3 started during the lockdown, believe it or not.
Right.
The other 2 started for us with Zoom right now. But even with the 1 with George, like it was a full family commitment because the other 2 always want to go along. They want to go and observe and watch. And they found it exciting and they wanted to start. And I'm like, oh, slow down, guys. One kid at a time. But and so really you have to kind of rearrange your whole schedule around it because it's like
they would train together, which is a positive, so at least they were in the same group. And many times I would just drop them off and then I'd have to leave and my husband would go pick them up afterwards. So it was kind of, you know, we'd tag team I'd see him at the door sometimes. He'd come and pick them up and I'd be leaving. So
yeah, well, I'm a priest, right? So I wouldn't drop them off. I'd take them and then while they're training I'm sitting there doing like responding to emails and calls and
right.
You know, there's a funeral happening. My dad, so I'm doing pastoral calls at the door while they're training. It's tough, but it's worth it though. I think it's part of the whole experience.
It is for sure.
It's nice to see them. It's nice to see them grow and the amount of hours that you're throwing into it, right? And money.
And
let's face it,
that too. It's like that too.
It's not cheap to do jujitsu, right?
It's not. It's not. And especially when they start competitions also, there's more that adds to that equation after that.
So. I'm not even, you know what? My kids haven't done competition yet. Because the first
That's year, when it adds up. It adds up then.
Thank you for warning me.
Yeah, it does. But it's totally worth it. It is totally worth it.
Sure. Sure. Well, let's hopefully it'll open up soon and they can get out to some competitions, because I know some of them are being scheduled for the fall. They're hoping to kind of reopen. And I see in the States there are some that have been rescheduled already quite soon. But here we're still waiting. So we'll see what happens. Do you have, I don't know, I'm going to cut this out obviously. So if you had to say, I guess, what's the biggest benefit? I know you mentioned a little bit earlier, if you had to choose the biggest benefit, I guess the biggest positive that's come out of the last 7 years of your daughters doing jiu-jitsu, what would it be? What would be like the most transformative, most positive impact on their lives that you could see as a mother?
Definitely the aspect of the self-defense, that they're confident in their own skin. They're, like I said before, they're petite. So it's good to know that even though they are on the smaller side, they can stand tall. They have that strength. They have that mindfulness, let's say, that they can assess situations and act accordingly. So probably that, the confidence game, the self-defense, the just the full body workout. It's been just a good experience all around. It's a fantastic sport.
Yeah. And you as a mom, as a jiu-jitsu mom, I guess you could say, you mentioned earlier that your daughters really enjoy the community. Have you kind of gotten in touch with any of the other moms and made any other friendships over the last 7 years?
I have to admit that when we're waiting for our children during their training, we do have our own little community, our little coffee time, or, you know, we'll discuss different matters, not just about jiu-jitsu, but, you know, how they're doing in school, how they're doing academically and socially, just differences between schools, because they're all in different areas, either, you know, the TDSB or the Catholic School Board. So we can have discussions about different levels, what they're learning. So we do have our own little community with the mothers and fathers, I have to admit.
Do any of the parents also train?
There are quite a few of the men, actually. Quite a few of the fathers train. I don't think there are any of the mothers that train.
Really?
Yeah, at our gym. Not at least at our gym at the time.
That's strange. At my gym, it's an even split. A lot of the moms.
Really?
Oh, yeah. A lot of the moms are bringing like 2-3 kids along for the ride. And the little ones are in the munchkin classes and then the teen classes. And then they're sticking around. Poor things falling asleep on the couch because the mother's training as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of mothers, at least in our gym, that are training as well. Or the father will come pick up the kids and the mothers will stay. And
very nice. No, I haven't seen too many. I don't think there are any of the mothers actually that train at our gym. At
really?
Extreme Couture. Yeah.
Have you thought about trying it out yourself, Helen?
I have, I'm not going to lie, but then I would have to be in the gym another hour afterwards. Chances are my older daughter, which is 15, she can train with the adults at this point. She yeah. wouldn't have a problem, but it doesn't work with my schedule. I teach private lessons in home, so I kind of am kind of pushed for time.
Okay, you got to do what you got to do.
Right.
Yeah, and you put the kids first and yeah.
For sure.
It's hard to do it. Yeah. It's, I don't know how some parents do it. Like I have my wife and she's able to come or pick them up, or I'm close enough to the club. I'm only 7 minutes away. So I can run off, you know, drop them off at home and then zip back again. But if I see some parents there, you know, they're coming from, like, our club is in North York, right? It's at York Mills and Leslie, which I know you know that area, Helen. And I have parents coming from Vaughan, you know, and the mothers are training or the fathers. So it's like some of them will bring their kids, they'll train and they only have 45 minutes. They take them back to Vaughan and then come back.
We had a family coming in from Barrie before competitions to get some extra training. They trained somewhere in Barrie. I'm not too sure what the club is called. And they would bring their child to Extreme Couture to train with us, with our kids, just to get some extra techniques, some extra, just to compete, not to spar with some of our kids for more experience. So I'm like, and it was on a weekday in traffic from Barrie. I'm like, that it's a bit much.
It's dedication.
It's dedication. It's true. Dedication for sure.
But where do you find time for everything else? Like homework and...
You know what, when it comes to schoolwork, that's that is the main concern, at least for our family. So that comes first, and everything else comes after that.
Well, yeah, I told my kids too, it's like, you know, that's the drill. You can only do it if you finish your homework when, as soon as you get home, that's your incentive, right? Because the kids are training later, like 5:30, 6 p.m., right? Exactly. By that time, it's too late. When they come home, they're exhausted. They're done. Their brains are turning off. And my kids are like farmers. So they go to bed early and they wake up early. Then they don't stay up late like most Greek kids. So like my kids, right. 8 o'clock, 8:30 rolls around, they're zonking out. But unfortunately, they're up at 6 o'clock in the morning. So, which means I'm up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Right. It gets harder as they grow. Like my older one is 15 and in high school now. So we did have to skip a couple of classes of jujitsu because she was had too much homework or she was just had an assignment due. But yeah, school comes first for sure. But she many times brought her books to jujitsu. So in between training, she would just study a little bit there too.
Do you find that the discipline that they've gained from jiu-jitsu has spilled over into discipline in school?
I think so. I think so. They are more calm. They're more focused, I find. So it does help them there too.
Yeah, I find that with my kids too, that especially like my son, George, like he's been doing the longest. And yeah, when he started getting more structure in the class, in the jiu-jitsu class, right? So structure, you know, do this, do that. I noticed that it was easier for him also in school, like to be more focused, to be more goal oriented, right? So when the teacher says, you know, okay, you got to do this and this so you can get this, right? Or so that you can finish your homework on time and this and that. And, you know, with little boys, it's a little harder than girls sometimes, right?
For sure. Yeah. Focused.
So I did find that there was a visible increase, like a change in the way he approached. And that's a good thing. Like the kind of the structure in jiu-jitsu can translate to structure in life. So final thoughts today on kind of being a mom, a parent, and with kids in jiu-jitsu. I know as being a parent as well that there are a lot of benefits for our children that they kind of take away from the sport and that kind of translates into their everyday lives. And Helen, you were telling me earlier when we were discussing that you noticed something that you never expected from your kids participating in jiu-jitsu, and maybe you can kind of leave us with that as your final thoughts.
Sure. Well, yeah, I was saying that, you know, even though many people would think it's an aggressive sport, it's a full contact sport, I see that children are getting a lot of kindness out of it and a lot of compassion for their teammates and other children that are training. Kindness because usually the coaches ask for the children's assistance to help out with younger children with different techniques. And so they assist the younger ones. They help out with drills or warm-ups. So they have that kindness in them. And then compassion when they're training, if something happens, injuries, they do happen, accidents, you see everybody runs towards that child to make sure they're okay. Even after competitions, if a child is injured, you know, or after an armbar, which that happens, you know, they'll go in, they'll reach out and are you okay? And just, you know, there's lots of compassion in the sport too. It's not just, it's not an aggressive sport. And that's why I do suggest it's wonderful for kids. It's wonderful for girls and boys of all ages to learn and to train.
Yeah, you wouldn't think it. And we were discussing this with Father Thomas a few episodes ago when we were talking about orthodoxy and pacifism, you know, like, and jiu-jitsu, a lot of people don't know, like the actual Japanese word, the phrase actually translates literally into the gentle art,
right?
The gentle art. And we were talking about this, about power versus restraint, about control, about gentleness. And what you're saying is exactly what we were talking about, that, you know, it seems like an aggressive sport, right? Because you're fighting, you're doing a lot of art, but it's rather learning how to control the other person with compassion. And you know, the whole point of jiu-jitsu, at least Brazilian jiu-jitsu, as we practice it now, is self-defense in order to be able to, you know, not necessarily dominate per se, but to subdue an opponent so they can't hurt you or others. That's really the initial goal of it, self-defense. But in a way that you don't necessarily have to hurt them or get hurt, but you can, you know, neutralize the situation. And so that requires a great bit of compassion, because you're not there. The goal is not to hurt the other person, even if you can, but rather to use enough force that's necessary, just enough to basically make the situation safe. And that's a really, really good skill for children to learn, because children out in the playground, children in real life, your older daughter who's in high school, you know, there's a lot of conflict with teens. There's a lot of conflict in the schools right now. And to learn to have that skill, to be gentle and to know how much force to apply at what point, not to go overboard. So not to be overly aggressive, but also not to be overly timid, to be able to stand up for yourself, but also with compassion for the other human being. There is such a thing as, you know, being able to defend yourself and still have compassion against an opponent.
And that's so I think very true. Very true.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for those thoughts. And we really appreciated having you on today. And we do wish your daughters the best of luck and in their future training and their future competitions. We hope that they'll stay involved for many, many years.
Hopefully, and hopefully we'll get back to training sometime soon.
You have been listening to The Fighting Priests, an independent podcast. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram and let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. Till next time, keep training the body and the soul. God bless.